Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning, America. And a very good morning to everyone listening across this great universe. It's a cold but beautiful morning in the Carolinas. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio and Reverend Wayne Carolyn Anders, for allowing me to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, on a weekly basis. Also, I'd like to thank my pastor and his wife, Pastor Al and Tava Bryce, where I attend Covenant Love Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thank you for pouring into me and mentoring me all these years. Covenant Love Church is having their free annual face-to-face women's conference this coming week, March the 13th and the 14th of 2020. Now, I'm inviting all of you wonderful ladies to come join us. If you're looking for an encounter with God, well, hon, I can certainly promise you that the face-to-face women's conference is where you'll encounter God. I hope to see you there. God bless each one of you. Let us pray. Father, only you understand how much others have hurt people. Help us not to carry this pain another second. We don't want to be bitter people. We need your grace and the power of the cross to release our pain and hurt. We can forgive those who have used us and hurt us deeply. Now, I know this will be a turning point for all of us today. First, we need to experience your forgiveness, Lord, and you know all of the ways that we've been hurt. Only you know their deepest, darkest secrets, Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is what Jesus said on the cross. Now, thank you for dying for our sins, Lord. Help us all to accept your grace and your forgiveness. Also, we need to receive it daily, on a daily basis. Now, today, I release it all to you, Lord. I choose the choice to forgive my enemies. Heal my heart with your grace, O Lord. Save the lost, heal the sick and brokenhearted. Deliver and set free those who have addictions, no matter what the source is, Lord. Use our president and his family, our vice president and his family, the Congress, and those in leadership all over this world, whether it be locally, whether it be statewide, or whether it be all over this universe. You are the one who placed them in office, God. Use them for your glory. Protect our leaders. Protect our military men and women. Protect our first responders, our firefighters, our paramedics, our EMSs, our policemen. Use them for your glory, Lord. Use your people to share the gospel so that you will be exalted. Anoint me and anoint this message today, Lord. No flesh will be lifted up. Only you, Lord, will be exalted. Help us to use our words as tools and not weapons. Every plan that the enemy has against your people or our nation, we call void and null in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody out there says, amen and amen. I am Reverend Sherry Thompson, and I am so glad to be with you this morning. I'm so glad that you have tuned in. If you haven't invited family and friends, take a moment, run to the phone, run to your computer, invite your family and friends. This is a message that is much, much needed. The message title today is Gossip is a Deadly Weapon. Now, this is not a popular message, but it is desperately needed for this hour, for this time, and for this society in 2020. Now, what constitutes a sinful slander? Exactly what constitutes improper speech about others? Understanding this is the most difficult part of this subject. Now, I have looked up and found some definitions of some words that I want to share with you before we actually start the message. So what is gossip? Rumor or talk of a personal, or sensational or intimate nature. This word is nowhere used in the KJV or in the New King James Version in 1 Timothy 5 and 13. Now, what is a rumor? Unverified information of uncertain origin, usually spread by word of mouth. And the same thing is heresy. Now, slander, the utterance of inflammatory statements injurious to the reputation of well-being of a person, a malicious statement or report. What is a backbiter? It speaks of spiteful or slanderous about a person. And what is a table bearer? A person who spreads malicious stories or gossip. What is railing? To condemn or attack in bitter, harsh, or abusive language. And reveal. All right, to denounce with abusive language. Now, some people believe that all talking about people who are not present is gossip and therefore wrong. Others think that saying bad things about people not present is gossip. Or some think that talking about things that you don't know to be true about others is gossip and wrong. While there are many ways to be guilty of speaking improperly about other people, thing that some would call gossip is wrong. We must let the Bible define what is right and what is wrong. The Bible is always our guide. Now, today we're going to be talking about slander, gossip, and evil speech. Let us talk about what the Bible teaches about controlling our tongue so that we do not speak evil against others. What is slander, gossip, rumors, table-bearing, backbiting? How important is truth and motives and proper attitudes in our speech? What does the Bible teach about meddling and slander? Ask yourself this morning, my friends, how pure is your speech? Now, our speech is one of the most difficult aspects of life to control. James tells us about the tongue and how it can start a fire. James 3 and 2 says, if we can control our speech, we can control all areas of our life. And in Titus 3, 1 and 2, Christians are told to speak evil of no one. Find in 1 Peter 2 and 1, lay aside all evil speaking. Most people are aware that the Bible gives guidelines about speech and specifically about how we should speak about others. Now, the Bible deals with slander and backbiting and gossip. Most are also aware that it is a common problem with most people. Now, people love to talk about other people, especially if they can say something bad. Well, at work, whether it's over the backyard fence, or especially over the telephone, many newspaper columnists or magazines or TVs or radio talk shows are devoted to the latest gossip about movie stars and politicians or other public figures. Now, people delight in digging up dirt, but it saddens and breaks my heart when people love it so much that they spread dirt and they drag people's reputation through the mud. If we were honest, most of us would admit that we ourselves at times have a problem with speech. Now, how many can honestly say this morning that they have never said something about somebody else and then later realize that they should not have said it? If we understand the Bible better, we might regret even more of our speech. The scripture tells us that to put a guard over our mouth, and a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, Matthew 12 and 37 says, and this is a very important scripture, please write this down. I'll repeat it again. Matthew 12 and 37 says, By our words, you will be either justified or condemned. Now, Reverend Sherry did not say that, did she? No, she did not. God's word says it. So let's go a little deeper. Here is what I consider profile of gossip. I found this, and I want to read it to you. It says, my name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious. the more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish in every level of society. My victims are helpless, harder. You try to more exclusive than I become. Now, I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and I wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights. I spurn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows at night. My name is gossip. Office gossip, home gossip, shop gossip, telephone gossip, email or social networking gossip, church gossip. I make headlines and headaches. I am gossip. The old adage is a lie that says that sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This is just not true, right? Gossip hurts, and it hurts deeply. The sad part is people that we gossip about don't even know that they're being attacked. They may not even know it for weeks, months, or even years. They have no idea and can't protect themselves. And at times, our motives for gossip are selfish. We like to make ourselves look better at others' expense. Ain't that the truth? Now, here's some micro exceptions. Now, listen. You may have said these things before. I know I have said them. I'm guilty, and I'm transparent before you this morning. We all fall short of God's glory, right? But God is there when we come faithfully, justly before him and ask him to forgive us. Ask us to not make these mistakes repeatedly over and over again, but to heal us and to make us go past that and above that and walk in our faith and be an effective witness. Because we can't be effective for Christ or the gospel if we are not true to God's word. Now, it isn't gossip if it's true, right? All right, listen up. This is very important for you to hear. We tend to think that gossip only involves lying and spreading rumors that may not be true. It includes those, but you can also slander and gossip with the truth. It may be true that a brother or sister committed adultery a while back, or maybe a brother did lose his job for lying. But if you are trying to pass that information along to lower someone else's opinion of that person, you are gossiping. That is slander. Just because something is true does not mean that you have the right to go on and tell everybody else the news. Now, I didn't mean to mar the person's reputation, you might say, so I didn't gossip. Right. Of course, there are times when we say things that we don't mean about people that we shouldn't say, and we don't mean to hurt someone's feelings or hurt somebody's reputation. But that doesn't make it okay, does it? Trying to justify ourselves will not work with God. Now, we will give an account to every idle word ever spoken from our mouth. Brethren, sisters, listen up. We need to put some effort into making sure that we think about the things that we say before we say them, to make sure that what we say will lift the person up instead of tearing the person down. That takes a lot of effort. But with God, all things are possible, my friends. The problem is we don't go to God. We don't ask God for his help. And that's why we can't succeed and we can't become successful in our relationship with God. Whew. You know what? We should try to have conversations with a goal of making someone feel better about others. Building up and not tearing down. This is where you can shine with a godly character. This is where you can truly make a difference. Yes, I said it. You can make a difference. Now, we try to say these things to justify our gossip sometimes, but it doesn't work, does it? We are gossiping when we say these things. So listen up. This is very, very important for you to hear. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. Did you hear what I just said? When there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. This is a helpful illustration, a common sense illustration that I'm going to convey to you this morning. To get fire going and to keep it going, you need wood to burn. Gossip is the wood that kindles the fire and keeps it hot. When you remove the gossip, quarreling and strife goes away. When you need to make it our goal to stop gossiping for the sake of the body of Christ. Now, it is capable of figuratively burning the church to the ground. Oh, yes. When you put enough wood on it, it'll burn anything to the ground. When you have a congregation that is peaceful and undefiled, table bearers probably are not present. That's what I said. But when you have a congregation that is with turmoil and strife, it would be no surprise gossips within the group. That's just the plain truth. And I'm just giving it to you this morning, just the way God would say it, because he is the one who has given me this, and I am speaking on his behalf. Now, Lord, who may abide in your tent? This is what I'm saying this morning. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, and he speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he do evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friends, all his co-workers, all his family. Who are the ones that will dwell with the Lord? Not us, if we slander and gossip. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. Words can build up or they can tear down, my friends. How are you using your words this morning? How pure is your speech? We use words as weapons when we should be using them as tools to build up God's people and to tear down the devil's kingdom. Not God's people, not God's kingdom, but to break the devil's eye. Are your words weapons this morning, or are they tools? Woo! That's powerful. Have you heard about gossip? Well, my text is from 2 Samuel 13 and 15, so listen up. There are many flavors of gossip. What if the church bulletin listed the sermon topic for this morning as gossip? The following hymn was, I love to tell the story. The hymn concerns telling the story of the gospel. All too often, God's people love to tell someone else's story, right? I think that along with pride, gossip is the most widely tolerated and most destructive sin in the whole church. We tolerate gossip because we've been guilty of it ourselves. It's easy to condemn people for sins that you've never committed, but it's not easy to face up to the sin which you have done and have encouraged others to do by listening to their gossip. You see, we're just as guilty. I know that I've been guilty of it. And I'm just coming transparent before you this morning to tell you that we must forgive and we must move past this. And we can with God's help. We don't have to be listed in our circles of friends or at church or at work. We don't have to be labeled as a gossiper. Now, we use this excuse too often. I just want you to know so that you could pray. You ever heard that? I just want you to know so you can pray. But that's really not the truth behind. That's not their motive. But we need to own up to the gossip as a serious sin that can destroy people. To develop and protect proper relationships in the church, we must deal with the sin of gossip. One of the tricky aspects of this subject is defining the term. Sometimes we fall into the sin of gossip because we're fuzzy about what it is. Sometimes it involves a judgment call. We cross the line inadvertently. But if we would deal with what we are clear about, if we just deal with what we're clear about, we would go, it would go a long way healing broken relationships and preventing further damage in the church or in our relationships or in our with our coworkers at work or wherever we are in whatever circles of friends that we travel in. What is gossip? The Webster Dictionary defines gossip as either a person who habitually reveals personal and sensational facts or as a rumor or report of an intimate nature. One of the biblical words used means to whisper. You'll find this in Romans 1 and 30, 2 Corinthians 12 and 20, which points to the intimate nature of the material shared. Another word means busybodies. Down in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 11 and 1 Timothy 5 and 13. Another word means to meddle in a business which doesn't pertain to you. Now, 1 Peter 4 and 15 says, another word comes from the verb meaning to babble, suggesting that the gospel the gossip is empty, pointless, often not completely factual. 1 Timothy 5 and 3 says another word translated as malicious gossip in 1 Timothy 3 and 1 and Titus 2 and 3 is the same word that is most often translated devil. It comes from a compound word meaning to throw something against someone. It ought to scare us to realize that when we gossip, we enter into the very nature of the devil. Yes, I said it. I did say that. I'm going to boil all these misses down by defining gossip as sharing information which damages another person's reputation with those who have no need to know. Now, it may be completely factual. More often, the one sharing it has not bothered to check all the facts, which yet distorted for the sake of making it more interesting. If the one who, I'm going to stop right here. This just came across my mind. We like to make it worse than what it is. That saddens my heart. We like to fill in details that are not even there. Untrue facts. That's lies. That's gossip. That's slander, my friends. And we don't even realize we're doing it. But I hope that I am the one sounding a voice, a loud voice this morning. That if you have ever done that, you're hearing this and you feel deep conviction this morning. I know that I have done this and I have repented over it. But you know what? God is there and he's faithful. But he doesn't want us to continue to ask him to repent over the same things over and over and over and over and over. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. That's what this message is all about this morning, so that you can move past that. So that you can grow. The one who is sharing the information knows that it is not completely true, and his motive for sharing it is to damage the other person. It moves from gossip to slander automatically. Now, the Hebrew word most often translated slander means to give an evil report about someone. The Greek word means to speak against someone. Now, James says that if we do that, we make ourselves the judge of both our brother and God's law, usurping God's rightful place, found in James 4, 11, and 12. Now, to help us understand how gossip and slander works, let us look at the case study in 2 Samuel 13 and 15. Absalom was a young man who was deeply hurt by his father. King David, Absalom's full sister, Tamar, had been raped by their half-brother. Amon, David got very angry, but he didn't do anything about it. Now, Absalom let his bitterness simmer inside for 2 years. Then he murdered Amon in cold blood, and he fled the country. That's why we cannot hold these things on the inside of us. We need to speak them out to God. We need to share them with a friend so that they can be our prayer partner to help us overcome these things. Because, you see, that's where the devil works, is in our mind. And he works there so that he can put these ideas and things in our mind. So he's hoping that he sets us in a trap and that we can't overcome these things, that we commit evil against our brothers or sisters. That's not what God wants us to do. And that's why I'm sounding the voice this morning. Woo! Now, 3 years went by, and David longed for Aksion to come back, but he felt like he couldn't do it. But Job, David's top general, used trickery to get the king to admit how badly he wanted to bring Absalom home. So David consented, but he kept up the appearance of justice, for he refused to see Absalom. 2 more years went by with Absalom living in Jerusalem without seeing his father. Finally, Absalom couldn't stand it any longer, and he forced the issue. The father and the son met, and David kissed Absalom. But now he was a bitter, rebellious young man. Now watch what happens, my friends. Read 2 Samuel 15:1-6. Jot that down this morning for time's sake. Absalom organized a loyal following and took on a self-appointed role. And in 15:1, it provided for himself. Then he began to befriend those who had complaints. Gossips always look for those who have a complaint because they will really listen to the damaging rumors. Now, he took an interest in them by asking them where they were from. It was a superficial interest because Absalom wasn't concerned about them, but about fighting himself over his dad, whom he was very angry with. But they couldn't discern that. They just felt like here was someone in government who cared. Gossips project this image. Now listen, you can trust me. This is what they say. This is a gossip. No, you can trust me. It's safe with me. Somebody just said that to me, but you know what? I didn't give them any information. I wouldn't tell them because I knew their character. Be careful who you tell anything because they will take it out of character and they will distort it. Now, I care for you is what they'll say, and I understand what you're going through, and I'm trying to deal with this impossible person. Listen up, my friends. Absalom gave them a personalized attention like they had never. Now, he put himself on their level by kissing them rather than letting them prostrate themselves. Now, he was signaling, I'm just a regular guy just like you. I'm not royalty like the king. I know what it's like to be a working man. He made them feel that there was someone who cared for them and understood their problem. And in the process, he subtly mangled the king, found in 2 Samuel 15:3, and suggested himself as the answer. Found in 2 Samuel 15:4. Now, he would give them the justice that they now were having problems obtaining. It makes you wonder if some modern politicians haven't studied this text, right? Whoop! I'm sorry, I said it. That's how it often happens in a local church as well. A person gets hurt over some incident. They feel like the church failed to meet their needs. They grow bitter, blaming the leadership for not caring about their problem. The hurt person intends to go talk to one of the leaders about things, but it doesn't happen. Then one day he runs into someone else from the church who seems caring and concerned. So he shares his complaint. The caring person replies, well, it doesn't surprise me. Now you listen. Listen closely. Listen to who you're listening to, because this is a person I'm talking about that's in church that's saying what I'm about to say. You're not the first to have this kind of problem with this leaders. You know, really? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, my friends. In fact, I was just talking to another family who ran into some brick wall. He goes on to describe that situation. Those pastors just don't seem to care. This is one pastor talking about another pastor or several other pastors. Now, we need some leaders who would care about the needs of good people like you. This is a church person talking. That's gossip and slander in operation, my friends. The person who felt hurt had no business telling anyone about it except the one against whom he had the complaint. Now, the gossip tested the waters by saying, it doesn't surprise me. there are others, you know, implying that he had inside information he was willing to share. Now, the hurt person took the bait by saying, really? Because he was willing to listen to the gossip. Then the gossip took up the offense, assumed the position of a natural judge, which the Lord had not assigned him, and shared more damaging gossip, which he had no business sharing. Through it all, he showed a concern for the hurt person by subsequently contrasting himself with those insensitive leaders. Satan uses this scenario over and over and over to destroy churches and church leaders. I want to deal with two questions. First, how can I deal with my own gossip? Second, how can I deal with gossip in others? How can I deal with my own gossip? Woo! Number one, we start by see gossip and the serious sin that we confess to God. One of the main reasons, my friend, that we don't deal with gossip is that we excuse it as no big deal. It's not seen as bad or a sin like adultery or homosexuality or armed robbery, but see 1 Peter 4:15 and see what it says. So we rationalize it and we tolerate it, but we need to see the destructive power of our tongues and confess and forsake the sin of gossip and slander. In Proverbs 18:21, it states, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Japanese have a proverb which says that though the tongue is only 3 inches long, it can slay a man 6 feet tall. Woo, that's powerful. Proverbs 16:27-28 states, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are as a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Gossip spreads contention and contentment, but those who come in will be touched and will be ruined and will be destroyed. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, my friends, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Someone out there is in this place right now, and God is speaking to you. He's giving you a chance to recover from all of this, to turn around, to do a 90-degree turnaround, and ask him for his help. He is your deliverer this day, this time. Woo! Thank you, God. Like charcoal to hot embers of wood and fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. Now, the words of a whisper are likely dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. That is found in Proverbs 26:20-22. This is the word that I'm giving you this morning. The word. It is successful when we read it, when we study it, when we pray about it, and when we apply it to our life. That is mostly the problem. We don't study it, we don't read it, and we don't apply it to the life. We just listen to somebody, it goes in one ear and out the other. Woo! Professional boxers need to be very careful not to get into first fight outside the ring because their hands are considered lethal weapons in the court of law. Now, we need to see our tongues that way. Found in James 1:26, it says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. The tongue, like an unbroken horse, needs to be bridled or restrained. James also says in 3:2 that the man who cannot claim that he never says the wrong thing can consider himself perfect. Ooh, I wish I could say that, but I'm far from being perfect. We are striving toward perfection. Ooh, Yes, it does say that. The man who can claim that he never says anything wrong can consider himself perfect. For if he can control his tongue, he can control every part of his personality. Until we see that our tongues are capable of terrible evil and confess our loose tongue as sin, we won't conquer gospel. We won't gossip. We won't conquer slander. Therefore, evil lives in our presence and in our life. Now, number two, realize that you can't conquer gospel in your own strength. You cannot. You simply cannot do that, my friends. James 3:7-8 asserts, "For every species of beasts and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." No one can tame the tongue, my friends, but God. That shows the power of sin over fallen human nature. We forget we live in a fallen body and we live in a fallen world. And we need to rely on somebody, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the evil speech stems from our own hearts, which is very evil, found in Matthew 15:19. Until we realize the utter depravity of our hearts and cry out to God for his deliverance, we will never conquer the sin of gossip. And here's number three. Now, you can yield your tongue to God as an instrument for righteousness. But Paul says in Romans 16:12-13, that rather than let sin reign in our bodies, where we go on presenting the members of our bodies to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, we are to present ourselves to God as those alive from the dead and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, it is a choice of masters, isn't it? Which master are you serving this morning? Either we serve sin or we serve God. Are you using your words as weapons or tools, my friends? How pure is your speech? Memorizing scripture is a powerful weapon for overcoming sins. You see, God gives us many tools. The problem is we don't use these tools. He gives us so many tools to use. Woo, thank you, God. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The word picture is that my tongue can either be a sword or a scalpel. I can speak rashly and wound another person like a sword thrust, or I can consider what I say and use my tongue as a scalpel to bring healing. That leads to the very next step. Some people like to cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal. Oh, yes. And number four, make a comment to build others in Christ, not to tear them down. Use your words, like I said, and I'll say it over and over because I want you to hear this, as tools and not weapons. Ephesians 4:29 gives us this contrast. Let no unwholesome, rotten word process from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Are you listening, my friends? How pure is your speech this morning? Have you ever bit into a rotten piece of fruit? You want to spit it out of your mouth and rinse your mouth out right away, right? That's how we ought to feel about our speech. It tears when it tears down others, when it hurts others, when it destroys people's lives, when it ruins people's reputations. When you say things behind someone's back which tears them down or ruins their total life, it's rotten speech, my friends. It may even be true, but the person you're sharing it with has no need to know. That's why I said it. You don't have to share it. I wish I could say I wasn't guilty of that, but I am. I have done that. because you get at a point where you're angry and you're feeling hurt and you feel like you need to vent. And we do need to vent. We just need to be careful what we say. But most of the time, it is not true and what the person is saying. And people who are spreading the gossip, they don't care because they want to feel better about themselves. So they try to ruin somebody else's reputation. They try to hurt somebody else's reputation. They don't even realize they're doing it. They've done it so often, they become totally immune to what they're doing and saying. By the way, the contrast that we are, when we say things which build up others according to their need, that it may give grace to those who hear it, strength, peace. Thank you, Lord. That doesn't mean that we paper over people's faults or make them look good when they did harm. Paul sometimes warned his readers of individuals whom he named who were causing problems for the church, found in 1 Timothy 1:20-2 and Timothy 1:15-14-15. Please write that down for time's sake. Now, he told the church in Rome, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned of the Word of God, and turn away from them. And in Romans 16:7, it says that we ought to have a Pollyanna positive attitude. No, we ought to have a positive attitude, but not a rotten, negative attitude with negative speech. Because people love to listen to that. You don't want to keep pouring more fuel, more wood on the fire to destroy somebody. A fire can't burn without wood. It can't burn without darkness. But you can certainly be the one that stops it, that puts it out. A gossip will bring damaging information which may hinder you from relationships which could help you grow in the Lord. Stop traveling in those circles. Get out of those circles. You know what I do at my work sometimes? When things are said and we're trying to conversate and their speech becomes rotten, I walk away. I don't compliment. I don't comment. I don't participate. I simply walk away. Now, God has given me the strength to do that. You know, I could not do that in my own because my flesh would love to hear what they say. But my spirit man says, no, do not be a part of that. You are a minister. You are an example of Christ. Be who you say you are. Get up and get up now. And I do. And on TV, when there are things being watched and I don't want to have a part of it, I say something immediately because you know why? It convicts my spirit. Because I have trained my human spirit to do the right thing. And it convicts me when filthy language is on a TV. I hate it with a passion. You know why? Because God hates it with a passion. Oh, thank you, God. I read an article recently that one pastoral leader who was once been a year with a certain fellowship working with the pastoral team. Before meeting them, he had heard good things about one of the leaders and wanted to pursue a friendship with him. He mentioned this to one of the other leaders who responded, oh, you'll find he's no good for personal things. Now, this is Christians talking. The first man said, but I've heard so many good things about him. Sure, the other man said, he's a great speaker, but he's really rigid and aloof. Nobody here tries to talk about him much anymore. Now, you know what? They could have just said, well, you know, let's pray. Let's not talk about him. Let's not put him down. Let's not tear him down. I'm talking to you, church people. I'm talking to the lost too, but I am talking to you, saints. Unfortunately, the first man listened to this unfavorable word. But during the year, he was puzzled because it added up. It didn't seem to fit what the other Christian person had told him. In the last few weeks he was there, he finally got to know the man and found him to be extremely helpful and personable. By this time, the one who had given him the bad report was dropping out of the group. Isn't that the way it always is? The man's own problems had prevented him from having a good relationship with the other man. You see, he was trying to tear that person down to build himself up because he was having problems. Instead of taking it to reputable Christians or to the Lord and letting him work it out. This is where we go wrong, my friends, and this is what I'm trying to express to you this morning. There is a right way and there's a wrong way to do things. And always taking it before God or before a reputable pastor or Christian brother or sister that will help you and lead you in the right direction and not lead you astray. And certainly not tear down somebody or hurt them or ruin their reputation. Now, this morning, how do I refuse to listen to someone who wants to spread gossip? That leads to a final question. How can I deal with gossip in others? It's never easy because sometimes it sneaks up upon you. But often a gossip will test your spirit before he gives you the information. Now listen up. This is very important. If you seem interested, he will give you more. Sometimes he will create curiosity by dropping comments that indicate that he knows something that would interest you. This is how gossips work. They're leading you in. They're dropping the crumbs along the trail for you to pick up. That's not what you want to do. When you see that or hear that, you want to run the other direction. Okay? So what is your reason for telling me? It should be your question to that person when they start doing this. You're asking the person their motive for sharing this information with you. Is it so that you can be involved in the solution? Why you and not someone else? If it's none of your business, then tell that person. I am not the one to talk to about this matter. You should go directly to the person involved. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Now, here's another article. I read about an elderly lady in the church who didn't like the fact that the church started using the guitar in the worship services, started calling other women in the church, trying to win them to her side, running the pastor down in the process. But she made the mistake of calling the wife of one of the elders who told her, you have no business. Now, this is a person who can stand up for what is right. This is a person who can stand up for what the truth is and can lead that person to the right in the right direction. She stood up and she said to this lady, you have no business calling me or any other person. You need to talk to the pastor. Then the elder's wife told the pastor what was going on. So a few people went to visit this lady and gently tried to tell her that if she had a problem, she should go directly to the one she had the problem with. Well, that was totally foreign to her mode of operation. The next time I called her, she snapped, they said. So she was talking to people who were trying to help her come to bawl me out, she said. But to my knowledge, she stopped spreading dissension in the church. You see, when you stand up to a gossip and you tell them what is right and you speak it in love, that will give them something to chew on. That will give them something to think about. And they'll think, maybe I am wrong. This is so wrong. This is where you should stand. Always do what is right. It doesn't matter what they think. It only matters what God thinks. Because you know what? You do the right thing even if no one is looking. Where did you get your information? Here's another question. If a person refuses to identify the source of information, he is probably spreading an evil report. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was open about his source of information. Now, I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by there are quarrels among you found in 1 Corinthians 1 and 11. The question to ask is, have you gone to the direct to the person that is involved in this, to the direct source? Jesus was clear when he was talking about this kind of thing. If you have a problem with your brethren or your sister, go directly to him or her and seek to clear it up, found in Matthew 18 and 15. If a person has not done this, he is not interested in helping to restore an offender, but only in spreading the gossip even more, unless he's never been instructed in how to deal with such matters. There are some people that are very young in the Lord, and they don't know. That's why we have to be, as leaders, to lead them to do the right thing, to say the right thing, lead them to the Word of God that could never lead them wrong. Then you can say, I can't verify the things that you're saying. Before you talk to anyone else, you need to go directly to that person and talk to him about it. If you need to help, if you need the help on how to do it, then I'll be glad to coach you. Be their helper. Be their mentor. Lead them to Christ-like things. But don't participate in the gossip. And don't listen to the gossip. Take no part of it. Walk away. God can give you the strength and authority to do just that. I know it because I do it on a daily basis. Then I'd like you to tell me how it went. So I want you to write in, you that are going to take a stand, and let me know what went down, how it, not the details or anything. I just want to know if you stood up, if you did the right thing. Have you personally checked out of all the facts? Have you checked out all the facts? Or are you just listening to all the mess? Often gossip is based on heresy or misinformed information, or the person spreading it has listened to only one side. And that's mostly the way it is. They listen to one side, the worst side, not the truth. Proverbs 18 and 7 in the NIV observes, the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. By the time gossip travels down the line, this is what I said earlier, it gets even more distorted. We are to speak truth with one another. You'll find that in Ephesians 4 and 25. If you haven't checked the facts, it's only a rumor, not verified truth. And here's another thing to ask. Can I quote you if I check this out? Most people say, oh, no, 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 because you know what? They've distorted all the information. They don't want you to quote them. They don't want you to say their name. A gossip doesn't want to be quoted because he's not sure of his facts, and he doesn't want to be involved in the solution for sure. He's only part of the trouble. He don't want to be part of the solution. Of course not. Getting to the conclusion of this. A professor from Princeton University ran an experiment to test the velocity of gossip. He called 6 students to his office in strict confidence and informed them that the Duke and the Duchess of Windsor were planning to attend a certain university dance. Within a week, this completely fictitious story had reached no less than 2,000 students. City officials phoned the university demanding to know why they had not been informed. Press agencies were frantically phoning for details. The professor observed that was a pleasant rumor. A slanderous one travels even faster, my friend. If we want to develop and protect loving relationships in the body of Christ, we've got to deal with the sin of gossip. First, we need to confront its own lives, first and foremost. Then we've got to deal with the gossip in others by refusing to listen to it and by gently rejecting anyone who tries to spread gossip to us. Let's love to tell the story, my friends, of Jesus. But let's hate to tell anyone's story unless it builds up the body of Christ, unless it edifies them and helps them, encourages them, strengthens them, and leads them peace. If it's going to tear them down, if it's going to ruin them, if it's going to drag their reputation through the mud, have no part of it. Have no part of it. Ooh, only truth. He is the only way. He is the only truth, and he is the only way. People that are gossips and slanderers, they are destroying the body of Christ. I beg and plead of you this morning, please don't be a part of that. 2 Thessalonians 3:11, indeed we are here that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with their other affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. We are all guilty of this in one degree or another. It has become a bad habit and an annoying one and a horrible problem before society today. But God's answer, his word found in Scripture, leads us to the truth, leads us to a solution that will lead us out of this horrible problem, this horrible gossip and slander, and lead us to where we can be pleasing before God, an example of Christ, to be, like he said, the salt and the light of the world. If we tend to our own lives and work diligently to allow Jesus to purge us of our impurities, we would not seek to remove the speck out of our own brother's eyes. And 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and at the same time, they also learned to be idle, gallowing about the house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and those who pry into the private affairs of others, speaking the things which they ought not to speak. Idleness is a learned behavior. It is not genetic. God has called us to be active in his service to others. When you spend your time in idleness, you are becoming self-serving and a meddler. Gabbling about from house to house has been a large part replaced in our day-by-day use of the telephone. Are your phones calls to encourage someone? Are they encouraging to someone? Are they peaceful? Are they uplifting? Or to gossip about someone? Ask yourself again, how pure is your speech? How pure is your speech? Are you sharing out of love? Or do you just want to sling someone through the mud? God can give us authority. He can give us strength to overcome these weak links in our life. In 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or any sort of criminal or as a mischief maker, a meddler in the affairs of others, infringing on their rights. A mischief maker is one who meddles in other people's business. We are all guilty of this at one time or another, sometimes too often. Usually this is done to exalt oneself by degrading the other person's reputation. Sometimes demons influence our curiosity to know the details so that we can be informed. We justify it by saying we are only concerned about their situation. But rarely, rarely, if ever, do we become a positive part of the solution. Sometimes pretty jealousies, sometimes little petty jealousies or past hurts cause us to meddle into someone else's life so that we can warn others what problems this person has. God says it is not our right to do that. It's not our right to be a meddler, but it is our right to love and to build up. God is absolutely right, and we are absolutely wrong. We must do unto others as we want them to do unto us. If there are past hurts or unsolved conflicts with someone, don't meddle in their business, but be reconciled to them. This can be reconciliation. The information shared must have a specific purpose to build up and to strengthen the body of Christ. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Let's don't go there. Let's simply don't go there. What is being said here is that one listens to gossip is as guilty as the gossiper. It is tempting to hear about someone else's life and problems. It's like a banquet table filled with chocolate truffles, prime rib, and baked potato with butter and sour cream and all the manner of morsels. There it is, free for the taking. Eat all you like. Just remember this, all those choice morsels have tons of calories, and they'll stick with you and make you really obvious to others. In other words, people are going to know who you are. They're going to know whether you are what you say you are in Christ or if you are the biggest gossiper in the group. That is what gossip does when you take it into yourself. It becomes a part of you that you cannot easily rid yourself of. Refuse to listen to gossip, even if it's from your husband or wife or best friend. I'm guilty. I've done it. I've said it. Pray for me this morning that I will not do that, because we can do this in a moment of anger or frustration, but we need to move past that, and that's why I'm asking you to pray for me this morning as well. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Simple advice, avoid a person that's got to be a big mouth constantly talking about others. Remember that the scripture warns, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, found in 1 Corinthians 15:33. And Romans 16:17-18 says, I appeal to you, brethren, to be a guard concerning those who create dissensions and difficulties and cause divisions in opposition to the doctrine, to this teaching which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them, to avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites and base desires, and by integrating and flattering speech, they beguile the hearts of the unsuspecting and simple-minded people. These verses apply to gossip, as well as others that attempt to create dissension among the brethren, particularly when they assemble together. These are selfish individuals who have not learned the heart of a servant of God. They have not denied themselves, taken up their cross, and followed Christ. I pray for you if you are that person this morning. God has his arms open to you, and he wants you to repent, because he has a solution waiting for you. You can be healed. You can go forth in your life of success, and you can make the difference, but you have to repent. You have to ask God to help you, to give you the strength and the peace, to stand up for what is right, to do what is right, to choose to be a great example of Christ and not a gossiper, a meddler, a backbiter, a table bearer. None of those do you want to be a part of or to be associated with. Flattery is one of their primary tactics to suck someone into their beguiling speech. Everyone loves to be flattered or to be complimented, but when this draws you into a conversation with someone whose speech will create division and dissension amongst the family of God, you need to avoid them at all costs. God says to turn away from and avoid such people. It is not rude and to avoid them. It is a command from the Almighty to do so. They are behaving like the devil. And what business, what business does light have to do with darkness? Clearly what the Bible says. And that's what I'm teaching you this morning. Be a good example, a positive example, an encourager to those who are gossips. Help them. Ask God to fill your mouth with the truth and the words that will pierce their heart and change their life. Don't ever partake in it, but stand up. Stand up for what is absolutely right. Become people who use their words as tools and not weapons of destruction. God's bride will be a spotless bride without spot or blemishes, just as I said in last week's message that I taught. These words are so important for you to heed the Word of God and to apply it as an application to your life. I'm so glad that you've tuned in this morning. Please don't keep this message to yourself. Download it, share it with others. Speak it to your family, friends. Speak it to your coworkers. But keep spreading the gospel. You can be the one who makes a difference in somebody's life and causes them to catapult to another level, from level to level, from glory to glory, and as their mind will be on eternity, traveling toward their success to run the race, to reach the end of the race, to receive the prize. I hope that you'll be that person this morning that stands before God and says, "Come on in, my faithful servant, who has served me, who has loved me, who has spoken with love." You can make a difference. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, and if you've been where I've been talking about this morning, God's arms are open. Just simply pray this prayer with me. Repent of your sins, and He is faithful and just to ask you, to give you eternal life. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, humbly asking you to forgive me as a sinner. Wash me and cleanse me as white as snow. God, I have been guilty of being a gossip. I have been guilty of many sins. I have been guilty of slander. I have been guilty of not being pleasing before you. Father, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to clean me up. And I ask you to turn me around and turn me in the right direction, that I hear your voice, Father, and only your voice. Give me the strength, give me the peace, and give me the authority to walk away from those kind of circles. Father, I thank you that you have honored and heard my prayer this morning, saving me. Thank you, God, that you've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody out there says, amen and amen and amen. If you have just prayed that prayer with me this morning, I am so glad that you have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm so glad if you have just went astray and you have just gotten off the track of being right before Jesus, that you've made a decision to turn around for Him and to be an example, to be the salt and light of the earth and not a gossiper, not the sinner, not a worldly person. Because God does tell us to come out, to be separate, to be set apart. I just thank you and I welcome you to the family of God. And I just want you to know this, that God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He is for you and He is never against you. His favor surrounds you and you are a great victory in His eyes. And you are His beloved. Don't ever forget, you are His beloved. God bless you, my precious friends, until we meet again.